This is Joanna Schrader reporting for DomesticFuel.com, and today I am with Joe Corby with Renewable Energy Group. Joe, how are you?
Very good.
Well, Joe, thanks for joining us today. I'm very familiar with your company, better known probably as REG to most people across the country, but you are the largest producer in the United States. So can you just give us a brief overview of your company and how many different states you're in?
I'd be happy to. The Renewable Energy Group is the largest biodiesel producer in the United States of America. It stretches from as far north as Minnesota through Iowa, Illinois, Texas, and we also have locations that are under construction in three different states as well. So there is a lot of activity going on, and we have learned a lot in regard to safety throughout our experiences.
Well, great. Well, Joe, that's actually why we're here today. I'd been approached by quite a few people in industry asking us to really have a very open and honest conversation about safety. But one of the things I want to drill into is the importance of a safety program. And from a producer such as yourself of your magnitude, I know you take safety very seriously. So my first question is, why is safety so important? I think people to some extent might think producing biodiesel is pretty easy. Well, you make it look pretty easy. So why do plants and people need to understand, or what do they need to understand about safety?
That's an excellent question. Safety, quality, and production are all three equally important to have a profitable business. To focus on the safety, if you make a great product and a lot of it high quality, but people are getting hurt, you're going to have a lot of turnover, and you're not going to be able to continue making a high-quality product for a very long period of time. But more importantly, safety is important to each individual employee because if they're not working safely, it's going to directly impact their quality of life both at work and at home.
So, Joe, how do you get people involved? It's one thing to say, hey, on this piece of paper, I have the safety program, or, you know, don't spill water on the ground so people can trip. But how do you really activate your employees to participate in a safety program?
That's a fantastic question that a lot of different safety programs are struggling to answer. One of the things that we've discovered is that too often safety programs focus on the what happened in the past, what shouldn't have happened in the past, how did we make mistakes in the past. One of the things we've decided to do here at the Renewable Energy Group, and it seems to work very well in all the different industries that have tried it, instead of focusing on the what, focus on the why. Training the employees why they need to do the things they need to do, and focusing on what specific actions or behaviors the employees need to be able to demonstrate to show that they can do our safety programs correctly.
So, Joe, how do you do that? Because obviously you don't want to have an accident and then go back and say, this is what you should have done. So in lieu of that, how do you demonstrate proper safety procedures should an accident occur, obviously without necessarily having that accident have occurred?
One of the best ways to prevent accidents from happening that we found is to focus on the different levels of safety incidents, if you will. The pyramid that many safety professionals are familiar with, where you have at the bottom a lot of unsafe acts or near-miss incidents, then you have your first aid incidents where people are hurt a little bit, then you have your recordables, and then your reportables where you have to call OSHA within 8 hours. The best practice is to focus on those unsafe acts, the near misses, the incidents where we identified something bad could have happened. Didn't actually happen to somebody, but somebody identified, hey, something could go wrong here, or an opportunity for an environmental incident, a near miss incident where someone says, this could have been bad. What can we do to make sure that this can never happen again? Part of what's necessary for that to happen, though, is for the employees to be educated on three things. The first is hazard awareness. Hazard awareness is where they understand and recognize that something could go wrong, and explaining to them what are the ramifications of something going out of the parameters we've given them. The second level after hazard awareness is continuous improvement. Once they're recognizing hazards and reporting them to their supervisors so we can put together corrective action, then they can go on to continuous improvement, which focuses on not just safety, but also how can we do things more efficiently. Because safety and efficiency do go hand in hand. The third level after that, and it kind of happens sort of magically on its own, is employee ownership. And that's where the employees go beyond having to do reports and being afraid of getting in trouble or not. then they're going into continuous improvement, and suddenly this transition takes place in their mind, where instead of it being the company's safety program, it's their safety program. And that shows so well when you look at the housekeeping of the facility, when you look at the safety attitudes, when you look at just the way the safety guy is portrayed when he walks on site. Is it everyone groaning and looking around for an incident, or are they coming and pointing out all the different successes they have?
Joe, one thing that's been brought up to me, and it has to do with the plant, but not necessarily your internal employees, is that oftentimes you see the unsafe procedures actually happening when somebody comes onto your facility. So whether it's a truck driver who comes up and doesn't follow proper protocol when picking up your biodiesel or the glycerin or what it might be. So how do you carry over your safety program to outside people?
That's a fantastic question. One of the solutions we found is to transition from the old traditional model of the safety cop, where the safety cop is going around looking for any problems and cracking out the ticket book. Instead, we've transitioned over to a safety coach approach. The safety coach walks up to someone and asks questions first rather than making assumptions. So if you walk up to a truck driver and they're not wearing a hard hat where hard hats are required, you simply ask them, "Hi, I'm Joe Corpy, I'm the corporate safety person," or whatever your title is, and say, "Are you familiar with the fact that we need to wear hard hats in this area?" It gives the person a graceful out, first off, to admit that maybe they weren't paying attention when they signed a piece of paper. Or maybe they knew, but they forgot theirs. You're giving them a graceful out instead of being confrontational. That gives you an opportunity to educate someone if there's a level of education that's needed, or to kind of ascertain exactly where they are in their level of safety. Are they being intentional at that moment? And that way you can get a supervisor involved right away.
Do you have instances then, Joe, where your employees actually are the ones that happen to recognize people not following, outside people not following safety procedures and bringing it to your attention?
Well, I think at every single location you ever look at in the United States of America, you're going to find that the employees have a greater chance than the supervisors do, just because they tend to outnumber the supervisors. In our facilities, where we're dealing with truck drivers coming into the logistics area, it's very common that the daily interaction they have is with an employee. And the employees there are tasked with constantly reminding any truck driver that, in the case of our logistics areas, safety glasses and hard hats are required, or whatever other specific attributes or personal protective equipment may be needed.
So some people have said, Joe, that they have sort of taken their safety programs up a notch and created incentive programs for their employees to keep them on track and thinking every day about safety. Have you tried any of those programs? And if so, could you talk a little bit about some of the things you've tried that work?
One of the things I've found that works best is, rather than getting into incentive programs, is to continually charge the employees with their own safety. And by continuing to talk about it and to encourage reporting of incidents and issues and to encourage the coach approach where people aren't getting defensive, that tends to work all by itself. One of the best things I've heard is when someone encouraged me, "Make sure you keep moral problems, and not economic ones." Mm-hmm. So often what happens when you see someone doing a safety issue, the traditional approach is to come up and say, "Do this or dot, dot, dot. You'll get written up, you'll get disciplined, whatever." You just made it an economic problem. Now the worker has to think to himself, "Gee whiz, do I follow your safety program or do I just take a write-up, which is going to be less hassle to me?" Instead, you keep it a moral problem, where you say to the employee, "Do you understand that for your safety you need to wear a hard hat here?" "Oh, okay. Do you agree with me that you're going to wear the correct personal protective equipment in this area?" And then you get them to state specifically what actions or behaviors they're going to demonstrate in this particular setting. That way, the next time you come through, if the employee is still doing the incorrect activity, the conversation now becomes a moral problem. "Excuse me, you made a promise to yourself yesterday about this action or behavior. Do you realize you broke a promise to yourself? You broke a promise to me, but more importantly, you broke a promise to yourself, and you failed to take charge of your own safety. As a result, now I have to temporarily take charge of your safety."
Right, right. Now, Joe, you talked earlier about the near misses. You know, these near misses are obviously no accident occurs. Potentially, you don't have to write anything up. But I know on the ethanol side, there is a a program in place where you can share near misses with your industry partners per se to learn from others' mistakes. Do you have a similar situation on the biodiesel side?
Well, here in Iowa, there's the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association, where they have a safety task force, and there are some different instances that are shared that are all, of course, kept general because there's a wide number of different facilities that are represented from both ethanol and biodiesel. So certain things like that are shared. Yes, that's true. There's a lot of, as you understand, safety is not competitive, but at the same point, we're trying to maintain conscience of everyone else's propriety. Just one other thing I will add on to that, though. Internally, in our renewable energy group plants, we do have a monthly safety call where we do share all of our incidents freely between the plants. One of the things that we've discovered is that helps us to dramatically get ahead of incidents before they occur, where one facility may notice an issue where something could have gone badly, so they report it, and we talk about it in the monthly call. And then each one of the locations will go out to see if they could replicate that situation at their facility.
Hmm. Oh, that's interesting. Now, what about across the industry, have you noticed, and I'm not speaking necessarily in your plants themselves, but have you happened to notice, Joe, any common themes among near misses?
A lot of times where we've seen a common theme, especially in the wintertime in the Midwest, is the slips and falls on ice. And the alarming trend that I've seen, as I've talked to my counterparts at all the other industries that I deal with, the majority of the slips and falls don't happen in the logistics area where you may expect, but rather they happen around the corner of the building or the parking lot, where the employee has taken his mind off the task at hand and has already mentally gone on to the next step. And because they think they're in a quote-unquote safe area, they don't recognize a hazard that's directly in front of them. And that's why I said the step one of a three-step program is hazard awareness.
Right. Now, what are some final thoughts, Joe? You know, you guys are, like I said, you're the largest biodiesel producer in the country. People really look to your company and respect your company. And I think we'll follow suit here if you have some advice. So if you can give us some final thoughts or tips or tactics or some advice for the industry as a whole, what would that be?
My best advice I can give you is to be intentional in your safety program. And what I mean by that is for the top-level management to clearly make their intentions known to everyone in the company what they want to do with safety. That's one of the strengths here at the Renewable Energy Group is our Chief Operating Officer, Dano, has been extremely clear with everyone that safety is a top priority for him. And that message has been transferred down through the Vice President of Manufacturing, through the Director, and through the plant managers, right directly to the plant employees. So they're hearing a constant and consistent safety message. And every time that the upper-level management visits the plant, the first thing that they talk about is safety. And that's been a wonderful thing for me as a safety director to work at a company where management gives full support to safety. It makes my job a million times easier. So having an intentional program where you're very clear with your intentions, the magical thing that happens when the intention is clear, the method will appear. And
great.
When people are intentional in their safety program, they get the results they're looking for.
Great. Joe, do you have anything you'd like to add?
I really appreciate the opportunity to take part in this. Safety is such a critical role in any industry, but as you said, in the renewable fuels industry, it is so important that we work safely because there's so many people looking at us. We're making a product that's great for the environment, it's great for our country, it's great for employment, but more importantly, we want to make sure that we're doing the right thing to keep our people safe, to keep our community safe, and to power our world.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.